This week on Show Me Scares, a real castle right here in Springfield, Missouri, and our first guest.
Yay! She's not saying a word over here. What the heck?
I don't know.
What's up, guys? God, you guys.
Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why. Show Me Scares.
Welcome to Show Me Scares. I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Tonight we have our first guest with us, Kristen.
What's up, guys?
We're excited to have our first guest, and it's kind of quick, actually, with episode number 2, but, you know, that's just how it worked out. Tonight we're going to talk about Pythian Castle right here in Springfield, Missouri, and we actually have Kristen on with us because she went on this little tour investigation with us. So, she has some input, maybe. We'll see.
I'm going to have to kill her to get her to talk.
So, Pythian Castle was constructed in 1913 by the Knights of Pythias. A little bit about the Knights of Pythias. They are a fraternal order, much like the Freemasons or the Odd Fellows. They were founded in Washington, D.C. in 1864, and they were the first order to receive charter under the Act of Congress.
Oh! I'll do sound effects.
That was for Bodie, but whatever.
Oh, my bad.
Okay. The values center to the order are that of loyalty, honor, and friendship. To be a member, here are the rules or whatever. To be a member, you must be a male over 18 years of age.
Losers.
Not be a professional gambler.
No fun.
I know. And not be involved in illegal drugs or alcohol.
Valid.
And lastly, have a belief in a spiritual being.
Well, there's one out of the 5 you mentioned.
They eventually did have auxiliary clubs for women and youth. The women's auxiliary was called the Pythian Sisters. And the youth groups was the Pythian Sunshine Girls and the Junior Order of Princes of Syracuse.
Wow.
And that's like princes, like boys, princes, not princess.
What?
I felt like that was really hard to...
I thought you said princess.
...get across. Yeah, see. Okay, thank you.
I did too. I was going to say girl power. Oh, wait.
They aided victims of disaster, ran underprivileged youth camps and retirement houses for members. They also sponsored scholarships, blood drives, and the Cystic Fibrosis Research Foundation.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Get closer.
No. You can hear me. That's pretty cool.
Oh, God. This is going downhill quick. In the early days, this was just kind of a cool little interesting tidbit. In the early days, newly inducted members received a ceremonial sword.
What?
Knights, get it?
Well, I get it.
Yeah, that's why. Now, apparently, they just have swords in the lodges for different reasons. Like, some swords are for ceremonies, some swords are for Friday night. I don't really know what they use them for, but that wasn't clear. So, some notable knights are, they're all presidents. William McKinley, the 25th president, Warren Harding, the 29th president, and Franklin D. Roosevelt, the 32nd president.
Shut up.
Yeah, they were all knights.
That is really cool.
I thought it was. So, in 1909, they decided they were going to build a Grand Missouri Lodge. And Springfield was in the running with 7 other cities to have the Pythian home.
It's okay, Bodie. I know.
Bodie really wants it to come to Springfield. So, much like Bodie, the Springfield Chamber of Commerce really wanted the Pythian home to come here. And so they raised money and bought 53 acres of land, which they sold to the Knights for $1. They also constructed a school across the street and named the street Pythian Street.
That's pretty cool because that's what it is still.
Yeah. They did all that just to secure. I mean, I don't know how much naming the street really helped, but I mean, maybe. Bless you, Bodie. They broke ground in 1911 and the building was completed in 1913, costing a total of $100,000. The building is constructed from Carthage limestone that comes from
Carthage, Missouri.
Right, just up the road. So, not far. That's kind of cool. But also, limestone. What is it said about limestone?
It attracts spirits, right?
It's a catalyst for paranormal activity. So, yeah.
You just had to say a bigger word than me. Whatever.
Whatever. Whatever. The grand opening was in June of 1914. The building would act as a meeting hall for members, as well as a retirement home and an orphanage for members' children. So after a member's death, his children would have a place to go. But the children's mothers were not welcome in the home.
So that's kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
Why break up a family? I mean, what?
I don't know. The member was covered, and it was a fraternal order, so it was men only, and women, I don't know, didn't matter.
But their daughters were allowed?
Yeah.
So that's kind of silly. See?
Weird. Well, they're taking care of their children. I don't know.
Sorry. Just saying.
I don't make the rules, okay? So I found this news story that was done right around the 100th anniversary of the building. And they had spoken to this little lady who was in a nursing home here. She was 92 at the time. And she had lived at Pythian as a child. So she had some really unique stories. I think actually her daughter was the one telling the stories because her mind wasn't as well, obviously, at 92. And so her daughter was relaying these stories that her mother had told her over the years. Her father was a member, and they lived in St. Louis, and he died. He left behind a widow and 8 children.
Dang.
Right. Dang. So he had no life insurance, no inheritance to leave for them. So they were penniless, and here she was with 8 children. She obviously couldn't take care of them, so she brought them to Springfield to the castle and left them.
That's a bold move for a mother.
The oldest girl remained in St. Louis because she was old enough to fend for herself. So she could handle, I mean, I'm guessing she was working or something and was able to handle it for herself.
So what happened to the mom? Like she just left him and then like...
I guess she's just hanging out in St. Louis. I don't know. More on her to come.
Stand by.
Stop walking on my story, man.
My bad, Pam.
In the meantime, she's just living in St. Louis. So after only a few weeks, the oldest brother ran away and hijacked. No. That's a whole different meaning. He hitchhiked. He didn't hijack anybody. He wasn't a bad kid. He was just going back to St. Louis. He hitchhiked, back to St. Louis. He found ways to support himself until he joined the military. And he said that if they took him back to Springfield, he would just run away again. Of that family, there was now left 4 girls and 2 boys at the Pythian home. Now, we learned when we were there, you remember how separated the boys and girls were.
Yeah.
So, boys had one staircase, girls had another staircase on opposite ends of the castle room.
Different levels as well.
Yeah. And when they went into the dining hall, they entered through different doors, they sat on different sides. So this girl, and I don't remember her name, but I didn't really want to use it anyway. So she had a little brother that was just a toddler, and she couldn't have anything at all to do with him. And he's just a baby.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah. Aww. I mean, I can't even imagine that. That's sad. Having your baby brother across the room and you can't do anything.
Yeah, because they're not allowed to even talk to each other.
No.
Right, at all.
Mm-mm. Not allowed to have anything to do with them. So, like, that would never fly with my family. Like, we're all so close. No way. I would have been like, okay, guys, we're going to boxcar children this. Let's go. Like,
yeah. Can you imagine Kristen not being able to talk to Cash?
Yeah. And seeing him across the room? I would like plan an escape like or something.
That's
like,
what I mean. That's terrible.
That's crazy. That's so sad.
So the castle was largely self-sufficient. They did have gardens for growing vegetables and such. And they had chickens, cows, that kind of farm animal stuff. The girls would do laundry, cook, and can, while the boys tended to the gardens and the animals outside. So they just labored. Which, I mean, that's good for them. It's not that bad.
It's just like growing up on a farm.
Yeah, I'm not saying that that was wrong. I mean, that sounded like I was like, they're working them to death. But no, I mean, like, you know, they were fine. I'm assuming. I shouldn't assume that. Anyway.
Just say it.
Yeah, just say it. The children received one new outfit a year.
Okay, see, that's horrible.
Yeah, I think so. That's not enough. Especially for the little boys that are working outside.
Yeah, and don't they grow? I mean...
Oh, right. That's true. So, of the little girl that we're talking about. One year, she didn't like the sleeves on her dress that she got. And she tore them off. So, her punishment, she was locked in a closet until she sewed them back on.
Oh, my goodness.
But she didn't like to sew, either. She was a rebel.
I like this woman.
I know. So she didn't like to sew, but, so sweet, the other little girls would sneak down at dark at night and help her until she sewed her sleeves back on.
That is too sweet.
Yeah. That's true friends
right there. I know. Isn't that sweet? I was like, yeah. So she told this story and then was like, well, it wasn't all bad. So there was some fun stuff that happened. One of the things that she talked about was peanut butter raids.
Okay, interesting.
You guys both tilted your head like a puppy. Like, what does this mean?
Explain.
Very interesting.
Okay, so here's how this went down. At night, the girls would sneak down to the kitchen and swipe some bread. Then they would make their way through the tunnel to the laundry, and they would toast their bread on the irons. And then apparently there was this giant vat of peanut butter. Where it was, I didn't understand that part, but they would lower down the smallest girl into this vat of peanut butter.
Shut up.
And then they would make peanut butter sandwiches and eat until they were full.
That's awesome.
That is genius.
Yeah.
Like,
and then genius. They would just sneak off to bed when they were done.
That's so BS.
I thought that was an adorable story. The maybe a little sad part, we're talking about mom again. The children's mother, this family, did come to visit once or twice a year. And when she would leave, it was very hard on all the children. But whenever this young lady that we've been speaking about was about 15 or 16, her mother remarried and came and took all the children back home.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, now this girl's practically grown, but whatever. I don't remember how old she was when she went in there. I don't think that I saw that, but.
But hey, at least mom came back.
Yeah.
I mean, when she could.
Yeah. And I'm sure the toddler brother was still quite young, so that's good. Now, I didn't find a lot about the retired members that had stayed there. They did kind of say that they kind of kept watch on the kids and kept them in order and, you know, made sure they didn't, talk to each other because that'd be crazy. but I did find two suicides that I wanted to note of the retirees that were there, the members. So the first was in 1940. His name was Jess Ray, and he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He had cancer on his face that had begun to spread.
Oh.
Yeah, so sad. The second one, I thought this one was, like, incredibly sad, and I don't know. It just seems like he didn't really have any hope. In 1914, William Resenbrink slit his own throat with a straight razor.
Whoa.
Yeah. So why did he do this? On December 30th, 1941, an article mentioned that the military would be taking over the castle, and they were only offering about a third of the value of the castle, but it was going to go by eminent domain regardless. The military were going to take the castle. And it was just like 6 weeks later, he killed himself. So like this had been his home and now it was going to be taken away. So I'm guessing maybe, you know, he loved it. He didn't want to leave. He didn't know maybe where he was going to go. Yeah. So
he had nowhere to go after.
Yeah. That one was super sad to me. But really of the retired members, I really didn't have much else to share other than those sad stories.
Way to bring us down, right?
I know. I know. So let's talk about torture and stuff. That'll make it better. In 1942, the military did take over the castle, paying just 50 cents on the dollar. They gave the knights 5 days to evacuate the castle.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
To get all those people and those kids out of there by then?
Yeah.
What?
But I'm sure, like, this is, like, a huge order all over the country. And I think they have international even. So, like, they have resources, but that was stupid to just give 5 days. But that's the military. When they take something over, didn't mean the military is stupid. That was not what I meant. It became part of the O'Reilly General Hospital and served as a service club for injured soldiers. On Friday nights, they had live bands and held dances. And our tour guide said, what, it was prime husband hunting?
Yeah, because the local women would go to them.
Yeah, so trying to find them a mañana. Big names of the time, such as Bob Hope, played there during this time. And there was, in the dining hall where they had the four columns, they mentioned something about putting ropes around the four columns and they would have wrestling matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was another fun thing.
They lived it up there. The military did.
Like, who thought of that? Who was standing in the middle of that room and was like,
bro,
all we need is a couple of ropes and we got this crazy ring right here. Like, do you know this is exactly the right size to throw down in? Like,
let's do this.
There was also a bowling alley in the basement, and then there was the theater, which had the bar and everything in it. So it was a big happening place. And I think, from what I understood, that they actually used the theater and stuff to fund the place. Like, yeah, people paid ticket prices to get in.
Yeah, they had some big, like, famous people come there,
right? Mm-hmm. So fun stuff. The military also added dungeon-like cells in the basement, which we have seen. This was home to German and Italian prisoners of war, most of which were injured.
Why would they put it in Missouri?
I had that question too, because I was like, you're serious? Like, you're bringing
all the way to Missouri?
You're bringing people from freaking Europe and you're coming all the way into Missouri? Like, I thought it was fake news, because why would you bring people that far just to hold them as prisoners?
Right.
And it was actually explained that Missouri is the middle of the country. If they escape here, there's just a whole lot more United States to go. Yeah, like,
that's valid. That's
true. They're a lot less likely to try to escape when they're in the center of the country than if they're along the coast where they could hop on a boat and go back home. But yeah, so because I was like fighting that, I was like, I don't believe that, but now I do.
You're smart of them.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I learned. Yeah, we learned. The German soldiers were nasty to the nurses. They would scream and spit at them, and they were just treating them badly.
Rude.
Yeah. There was also at least one Japanese POW held here. This prisoner was said to have been well-liked and very respectful.
A Japanese guy?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Well, and because he was so nice, he was allowed to have paints to decorate his cell. Remember,
we witnessed that.
Yes.
Yes. So the murals he drew on his wall can still be seen there now. And we did see them.
They are pretty good. Just
it was really nice. Yeah, I remember that room.
Yeah. It's cool. There was also at least one room that we saw that was said to have been used for interrogations. So it was, it's like stone, all sides. There's no windows. It's what, 10 by 10, maybe? Mm-hmm, I'd say maybe smaller than that, probably. And then the doorway is like 18 inches wide.
My ass barely fit through that.
I mean, it's small. And then, of course, they have the light hanging from the ceiling that you see in the movies swinging when they're giving it to
you. Yeah, it's pretty cool, though.
I don't know if that was added for, you know.
It was just like the movies.
Yeah.
Now that
yeah. When you see that room, it's like, you know what that's for
yeah.
right away.
Yeah, for sure.
So you just imagine the light swinging and them asking questions and punching people and all kinds of stuff in there. And so I'm sure with POWs being held there the interrogations probably did happen there. I mean, that would make sense. You would yeah. want to probably get information from them. But in 1980, the building was leased to OCAC, which is like our food pantry and help for needy families kind of organization. And it served in this capacity for a number of years. But in 1993, it was auctioned off as surplus. Now, there was not a lot of interest in the castle, but a farmer from Mansfield bought it. And guess how much he paid for the castle in 1993?
Not a clue.
Throw a guess out. What would you imagine a castle was going for in 1993?
10 grand.
$4,000.
What?
Yeah.
Nice guess. Yeah.
He bought a yeah. castle for $4,000.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so mad at myself that I didn't buy it. But I was six, so. So, you know, that wasn't possible. But anyway, they couldn't really keep up with it. They didn't know what taking care of a castle meant. And so they finally sold it to the current owner, Tamara Finocchiaro.
Are you sure that's how you say it?
I am. I Googled it. Yeah. And Tamara was actually there with us that night. Like, that she was the one who checked us in and was there checking on us.
How long has she been the owner?
I think she bought it in 2003. Yeah. I didn't have that in my notes, and I don't know why. But so Tamara, she is a former professional swing dancer and aerial acrobat from Los Angeles.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Her and her mother bought the castle. They had decided that their next home was going to be a castle. And
so here they are in Missouri.
I know. They said they were really lucky that they didn't have to leave the country in order to find a castle to live in. That they were able to find one right here in the country. So they moved from Los Angeles to Springfield, Missouri to live in a castle.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Who would have thought you had to leave Los Angeles and come to Missouri yeah. to live in a castle? Like, right. Yeah.
That's a cool story to tell, though. Uh-huh. I'm from LA and I live in a castle in Springfield.
That is cool.
After many disputes with the city over zoning policies, Pythian Castle was opened to the public in 2010. They now offer tours. They do both history and ghost tours. There are a couple different options for paranormal investigations if you want to schedule those. We did the 2.5-hour one, but I think there's like a 5-hour one or something like that. And then also they do have a few like different paranormal groups that come in and do overnight investigations, and you can join them. And so they're like professional paranormal investigators, and you can go in and investigate with them. They offer, it's an event center, full event center. You can have your wedding there. They do proms, they do dances, all kinds of stuff. But they also do murder mystery dinners. And I think they had like a New Year's Eve party. So they do stuff like that too. It's just an event center. And they also hold tours, just to give the history of the place and let people experience the paranormal side as well. Yay! Okay, so let's get to the paranormal. Anything you want to talk about the history first?
No, I think you pretty well covered it.
Okay, no questions?
Question?
No.
Got a question?
No. Nothing. No. Nothing fuzzy.
Good story.
Thanks. I made it up. So, paranormal. There are more than 100 confirmed deaths.
Yep.
And morbidly enough, they have the death certificates all laid out there for you to look through when you
go
and visit
cool.
the castle.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
It is. I mean, they're going off of ghosts and such history to keep the place running. So I understand it, but it's like, ugh. But if you get a name, like we were talking about, if you're investigating and you get a name and you're like, oh, I wonder, then you can go and look and see if you can find a death certificate.
In which we did.
We did.
Yes, we did. A few, actually. So shortly after moving in, Tamara answered the door to find two former OCAC employees on her doorstep. And their question for her was, have you met the ghosts?
Yeah. This is before she even knew about the ghost, right?
Like, well, kind before... of. Oh. So Tamara tells a story about while she was painting. And she had drapes covering the doorway of the writing room. I don't know which room that is, but she pushed through the curtains to go to the other side and she encountered a physical body standing on the other side of the curtain. And she like actually bumped into this person.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And
I'm gonna scream.
Yeah.
She was the only one in the castle that day. So she bumped into.
You only thought she was alone.
Yeah. No, she's never alone, actually. So they, she did hear the whistling melody in the hallways. And
Kristen.
Yeah. Shayla.
Yeah. Tamara also witnessed the noise of a crowd in a room that was completely empty, as well as footsteps all over the building, different areas of the building. In the east wing of the castle, a worker was greeted with a child's hello when no one was around. Obviously, they would know if there were children in the building, and there were none. There was an old man telling a story about, or talking about, when he was a kid in the 60s, and he used to go into Pythian Castle and play with all the kids there. Well, the castle was deserted in the 60s, so there were no children there. And
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so somebody tells this guy, like, it was deserted then, and he was like, well, they sure moved toys around like there were kids. Like,
that's pretty cool.
They seemed pretty cool, real to me. So. Yeah. I don't know, maybe they were other kids that broke in, but I'm saying they were ghost kids. Or they are. there's the passageways in the walls that they talked about the kids using. Do you remember seeing those? There's like in that one cell where the Japanese was, that plexiglass thing is over that.
Yeah.
And there's like these passageways that goes through the walls. And they found toys and stuff in there. And
how cool.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure when the kids used those. If it was like, I
didn't... go get peanut butter.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So the boys' dormitory, we spent quite a bit of time in there. The claims are feelings of sadness. Some people even break down crying. And one group got an EVP of a child saying goodnight after they had said goodnight and was leaving the room. There are photos taken throughout the building that show apparitions. And I think, did you get one, Kristen? I thought you got a picture that looked
like... Yeah, like I took like a bunch like back to back to back. And then it was just like one picture stood out of like all of them. And it was just like a perfect like white... It looks like a little kid, like it really did. And then I like went to my next one, and like they were all blurry after that.
How weird!
I know, it's crazy, crazy.
How exciting! Okay, yeah, I like that one. Terry showed me that picture, and I was like, okay, nobody in our group looked like that when we.
I know, and like, I kept trying to think, like, was there like somebody like
that nobody was had a group? White hoodie or anything?
No,
so
was, no,
no.
It was too weird. Yeah,
that's cool. And then there's the countless number of orb pictures and light anomaly pictures that we saw. And it's so hard for me to believe orbs. Because I think unless you can see it and you can see that it is emanating its own light, and it's absolutely not a dust speck that's just being lit up by something, then it just doesn't make much sense. It's too iffy to me. I don't know.
I understand.
I get it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I need to see it with my naked eye to believe it's an orb.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I remember sitting back there with you, and we were, like, just, like, looking at the camera, like, on your phone. We could, like, see orbs, like, before you were even taking pictures.
And we was trying to debunk it, like, well, maybe it's that. Well, maybe it's that. But...
Yeah.
You did have some weird stuff on yours that was orb-like that I was like, okay, I don't know what what that is. That's <here. laughs> yeah. That, and that is, like, I've seen all kinds of orb pictures, but some of those that you took, I was like, and maybe because I know you and I, you know, I was there when you were taking them. So I know there was no kind of funky stuff going, like, it, I don't know.
It kept growing, though. Mm-hmm. Like, it was weird. It kept, like, step by step going higher and higher and then getting bigger and bigger, mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's, I would never have thought I would look at a picture of an orb and been like, oh my God. But that one was crazy. That one was a good one. Or those series of photos, actually.
Mm-hmm. You talked about getting emotional. Didn't your girlfriend get emotional there towards the end and yeah. started crying?
Yeah, and like when we left, she was like, I don't know why. Like, I honestly don't know why. I just felt like I just started crying. And I was like, that they told us that, like, in the tour. And she wasn't with us during the tour, so.
That was the coolest. She didn't know nothing about it.
Yeah.
I felt like such an asshole, though. Like, so we're sitting in the nurse's room, which is right next to the boys' dormitory. And Harley, who is a mother, we had done a spirit box session and... I was the one who was under in the spirit box session. So I take off the blindfold and the headphones and Harley's standing pretty close to me and she's like crying and she's like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And I'm like, so happy. I'm like, oh my God, that's a claim, because she wasn't with us on this tour. So she wouldn't have known that. And so, yeah, she's like heartbroken and I'm like, yes. Oh yeah, you're crying. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, what an asshole. Yeah. But yeah, after the fact I was like, oh, that wasn't very nice.
Yeah.
It's so cool to have a claim come true when somebody has no clue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before. She like said like everything almost like word for word, but that tour guy said that everybody like would say that would go in there. She was like, I don't know, I just like had a sad like feeling and I just started crying and I was like, oh,
nice.
Yes. Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, poor Harley, but it was really cool.
We're all excited, but she's all like, ah! Yeah,
we could not have been happier to see her right. break down.
Jerks.
So the tunnel, I believe, was it 270 feet? I want to say that that's what it was. Something like that.
Yeah, it was close.
It's a long tunnel. So you go down through the boiler room, mm-hmm. and you step down kind of underneath the... foundation,
mm-hmm. and where the pipes and stuff yeah. are.
And there's a tunnel that runs back through, and if you go to the very end of that tunnel, this is what is said to happen. If you go to the very end of the tunnel, be quiet, you can hear footsteps come down the tunnel toward you, and the ones who operate the castle, they have actually named the apparition or the entity, I guess, Mr. Boots. Not sure what his name really was, but they call him Mr. Boots because he sounds like he has boots when his footsteps come down the...
How do you know he likes that name? I mean, that could be making him mad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why he doesn't talk to him. Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, because we watched the Ghost Adventures episode before we went to kind of get get a look at the castle before we went into it and see where they had gotten, you know, stuff happen and all that. So we had watched that and there was the scene where Aaron is down in the tunnel by himself, remember? And there's the loud bang.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you recognize what that loud bang is?
It's when you step down in the tunnel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was like thinking about it the other day and I was like, oh, I would need to watch that again and make sure that's the sound, but I almost guarantee you that's what it was, because there were a few times like we would be in other parts of the castle and somebody would go down into the tunnel and you hear that bang, and sound travels so good in that yeah. place oh that God. It would sound like it was like right next to you or like, you know, just down the hallway from you. And it was actually in a completely different part of the building, but it's so loud. And every time you step down into the tunnel, it does that. It's like a metal
like
thing.
A plate that kind of goes yeah. up a little bit.
And so when you step on it, your weight pushes it down, and when it comes up, it pops and makes a real loud bang. And I really think that that's what that noise was on yeah. Ghost Adventures. I was like, oh, that's what that was.
Look debunk. At you debunk.
Yeah, I know. Figuring it out.
And I mean, he almost shit himself.
Well, when episode. I was in the tunnel and you guys was up at that spot and messing with it, I about shit myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I didn't know that's what it was at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Until you like realize.
Yeah. Well, until I came out and you're like, I figured it out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, that's good to know because I about shit my pants.
So the tunnel was cool. And I think all of us had some kind of experiences in there. I mean, I know when my brother Brandon and I went back in there by ourselves, we definitely heard a couple footsteps. They weren't like footsteps coming toward us. Like we heard like footstep, footstep, and then nothing. And then we would hear a footstep. And then, you know, like it was random. It wasn't ever like any kind of rhythm to it, like somebody walking. But we did hear it. But there was a lot of noise down there because we had that snow and ice on and everything was melting and there was water dripping. So I think if we were to go back maybe when it's not so wet, it would be nice to be down there when it's completely quiet and try to listen.
What about you and Harley? Did you experience anything down there?
Yeah, when we went down there, we heard footsteps, but it wasn't like you said, it was like a footstep here, a footstep there. It was never like, and like right when we would like start to talk is when we would hear it. And then we would both be like, oh my gosh, did you hear that? Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And then there towards the end, like we would ask like twice in a row and we heard it like back to back. And then after that, Harley was like pushing me down to like, okay, go.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we definitely heard footsteps.
I thought that was like a creepy claim because in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, like you go down this tunnel and then you wait and you listen for the footsteps, which are at the end you just came from. You hear the footsteps, but when you go to leave, you have to go toward, toward the quote scary to get out of there. Right. Like, so for somebody who would be like uneasy, I would think that would probably not be something they would want to try, but everybody wanted to, and everybody did it and had a good time. So that was fun. The, one last thing about the paranormal before we continue with our, personal experiences. It was featured on TV shows such as Ghost Adventures, like we've talked about, and Ghost Lab and The Haunted...
Wow, the what?
And The Haunted Collector.
Now, Zach, off of Ghost Adventures, said that he saw or heard a demon?
Yeah.
In which...
Pause. Here is Terry's Truths.
So, sorry. You mentioned Ghost Adventures. So, Zach from Ghost Adventures actually mentioned capturing a demon on the spirit box.
He heard the word demon on the spirit box, right?
Gotcha. Yeah. Right.
But because he saw red eyes, right?
That was right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have actually had numerous psychic mediums and paranormal investigators that have never found anything evil or bad or anything like that. So,
no,
I'm just saying it's not true, Zach. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, they definitely said that there were no demons there, and you know, all the people who have been through there, they would know if they had a demon,
especially psychics.
I mean, exactly.
They tend to attract them.
Yeah, anyway, sorry, Terry's Truths. And we didn't want to hate on Zach. We're just saying, like, don't be scared to go visit there. You're not going to be possessed. It's fine. We survived it. we're fine. And we definitely had a lot of people with questionable morals with us, so it's fine. We all made it out. So let's talk a little bit more about our personal experiences. I didn't really mean to get into that before, but we did, so that's fine. No, it's fine.
You're welcome.
So I think the biggest experience that pretty much everybody, I can honestly say I believe everybody had, was the whistling.
Yeah.
Everybody heard that was wild.
That was so crazy. And like,
the only problem that I have with that is that Tamara, the owner, was there and she was just kind of slipping around the whole time because you would just see her. And I don't know that she would do it. But man, it's so hard to say.
Yeah,
that
she did pop up like every, like it was.
Yeah. So we was walking down there doing some investigation in the kitchen area. And then she just pops up out of a door that we didn't even know was there. Mm-hmm. So
scared the shit out of me. I jumped. I was like, oh, she's like, sorry. I was like,
what the?
Yeah.
Talk about tunnels in the wall.
You can't be doing that. I almost salted your ass. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. With her being there, and that is, I mean, the haunting is what keeps the place going. Not completely, the history does too, but it just.
Although, like, when we got done with everything, with the tour, right before we did the investigation, somebody had sent her a picture of an orb,
mm-hmm.
and she was, like, blown away and really into it and all this. So I just really think she thrives off from it. I don't think she would do anything like that, because she acted really excited about everything.
And I understand her wanting to be there and kind of keep an eye and make sure, you know, we're not, like,
playing the Ouija board or anything.
Kristen.
You know what? That's what I should have done. I should have done, like, the dangers of a Ouija board, just so we could do that for Kristen, because... Yeah.
We'll save that for another time.
Yeah, there we go. Next time you're here, I'm going to warn you. I'm going to scare the Ouija board out of you. So, it worried me to have somebody else around there. But there was the one time, Kristen, you and I heard it on the staircase. We ran straight to the staircase, and the door was closed. There was no way anybody could have been on that staircase. So... that was the one time I was like, okay, something just happened. Yeah. Like, we definitely caught something.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had some really great spirit box work throughout the whole building, mm-hmm. I think. And I don't know if it's always that active, because I can't believe that every paranormal team in the world hasn't been there, if it is. Because, and I think, I have a theory that all of us, this was like our first time investigating, like, our place, you know, like, going in with a team and investigating. And, disclaimer, we are not professionals at all. We're just playing around and having fun. Like, right. So, don't think we can come exercise you, because it'd be bad. But I, in my theory... we were all so pumped and so excited that I think our energy just absolutely radiated.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it spurred it on. Yeah. Like, and I hope that we're able to carry that through, you know, every one of them. I don't know. I get excited every single time I go to a place, but that one was definitely, you know, we had all this equipment we had bought, and everybody was excited to try for an experience, and, like, everybody was so pumped up that energy, I feel like the air was just ripe for any kind of activity.
I agree. We was all real pumped.
Yeah.
The spirit box work was so good. We got a lot of interaction. So I think the very last one we did in the nurse's room before Harley broke down, that one was a really good one. It was interesting because... there was also stuff happening in the room next to us that coincided with what was being said.
Mm-hmm.
So that one was, I guess I was under. So I can't really say. You guys were there. You were aware. I was under. So by under, I mean we were using the Estes method. So I have a blindfold on and noise-canceling headphones with the spirit box playing into those headphones. So I can't hear or see anything that's going on around me. I can only say what I'm hearing as far as voices across the spirit box, and I relay those to the group, and they ask questions accordingly or however. And so you guys can, I'm just gonna let you take it over and tell us kind of how that went, how that little interaction went, because I think of all of them, that was probably my favorite because of how much corroboration there was with what was being said and what was happening around us.
So obviously the whole group was asking questions.
Mm-hmm. At that point,
and you was just answering them, like, accordingly. Like, literally, we could just pop off a weird question, and you would answer mm-hmm. like any other person would. We did that for about, what, 5-10 minutes? And then finally, there was supposedly a little boy that was coming through and talking to us. And Kristen and Brandon was standing at the door. And they heard something in the other room. And you went in there, and what'd you find?
We went in there, and we seen the ball, and it had moved from the place that it was in from the last time that we were in there.
And so the other room is the boys' room. Yeah. My bad. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and so at that point, me and Brandon were both like, okay, that ball was way over there, and now it's, like, up against the wall that we were on. Like, it was so weird. And then he was like, do you really think that's what it was? And I was like, yes. Yeah. That was so awesome. And then we heard, like, we came back around, and we heard, like, another noise from, like, up. Like, I don't know where it was coming from. We never, like, went up there, but...
Yeah. And then they come back, and as soon as Brandon gets in the doorway, Shayla says, Brandon. Mm-hmm. And Brandon's like, what? Because Brandon's real, this is all new to him. So he's like.
Huge skeptic.
Yeah. So he's like, yes or what? I can't remember which one he said. And Shayla answered, ball, roll the ball, or play ball.
Try it, bounce
the ball. Oh, try it, bounce the ball, or something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Brandon's like, okay. And Kristen was like, Brandon, I told you that f***ing ball. So Brandon went into the room and grabbed the ball and rolled it towards Shayla. And when I said, well, can you roll the ball back? And that's when the little boy was said, no, too weak, gotta go, or something like that.
Yeah. But it was like you were answering them all, like, right, like, when all of that was happening. It was crazy.
Like, literally, like, he was talking to a little boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild to me because I didn't have any idea. And that one was really good because I was pretty much across the room from everyone. Like, I was standing back away from everyone. Except for when Brandon rolled the ball and it hit me and I thought something had grabbed me or something. That was interesting because I didn't know there was a ball being rolled around the room, but... Yeah, that was kind of funny.
There was one time Harley had asked the age, and you said the wrong number. The boy was 13.
I said 3.
And you said 3, and the boy said, no, that's wrong. And we're like, well, what's wrong? And then you said 13, and I don't know what went down, but you said something to make everybody laugh, and the little boy, or you had said... yeah, that's funny, or something like that.
Wild.
Yeah.
So everybody laughed, and then I said, that's funny.
Right, yeah. Because the kid was saying how you was wrong about his age, and then he mentioned 13 again. So basically, he was correcting you, and we was laughing because you got it wrong, yeah. and he was giving you a hard time. And I'm like, and then Harley's like, are you ornery? And that boy's like, ha, 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 yes. And you literally said, laughing, yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't wait to go back. So I had the ball moving. That was one of our personal experiences that I had down. And I actually had the movement on the staircase too, because we heard that and we mm-hmm. tried to set up there, but then we heard them go into the tunnel and thought it was somebody slamming a door, remember?
Yeah.
So we were like, we gotta go check that out. So we abandoned the staircase. And then Mr. Boots, everybody had some kind of experience down there. Did you have something?
I was just going to mention the segregation play. Yeah, remember Kayla went first in the chair and mentioned you being the...
interrogation area.
Yeah, like the...
The interrogation room. Yeah. You're talking about the interrogation room.
Yeah, tell that story. Do you remember it? Where Kayla had mentioned, was talking to someone.
Okay,
and then...
mm-hmm. I remember. So this time I wasn't under. This time my sister-in-law Kayla went under. And Kayla is a skeptic because she's terrified. she says she don't want to believe because it's scary. And so, but she's kind of intrigued too. But so she went with us. And my whole goal in taking Kayla along was to show her how unscary it was. Like, right. It's really not scary. They're not going to like scratch your eyes out or anything like you see on TV. So she went along and she went ahead and went under in the interrogation room. And she sat down and I began to ask questions because I'm usually the one that goes under. And this time I didn't, so I got to ask questions. I asked, or I started off by like, you might remember us. We were in here earlier because a few of us had taken the tour. Kayla and Brandon had not. And Kayla says, yes, you were first. And I was the first one that walked in the room when we were on the tour. So that was very interesting. Kayla did not know that. There was no way for her to have known that I was the first one that went in there. And she said it a couple times mm-hmm. that I was first. So That one was really interesting. But Kayla couldn't stay under very long. I think it takes time to get where you can listen to that without going nuts. But so she only lasted 2 or 3 minutes or so under, and she ripped off the headphones. But we were getting such good stuff that I couldn't let it go. So I went ahead and went under, and we got some good stuff there too. I think it was a man named Tom that we talked to in there, and some pretty interesting stuff that happened in that area too. It was awesome. Later on, I actually went in there by myself and sat and did an EVP session. I did a very short EVP session, mainly because, like we said earlier, sound travels so good through that place, and I could hear almost everything that was being done by the others that were on the complete other end of the castle. So I wasn't really going to get anything that was conclusive.
You heard whistles, didn't you?
I did. I kept hearing whistles.
Yeah.
And they were very faint. I could tell it wasn't you guys. I could tell it was something different.
We had actually went upstairs when you went in there by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I could hear you speaking at times. But the whistles. I heard the whistles. And I know none of us were whistling at that point because we were all making sure that we were listening to the whistles because we heard so many at that point. So, if you don't have any other final thoughts, how do you feel about going back to Pythian?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's a good spot for us because it's right here where we live and it's cheap, pretty much. I mean, we got 2.5 hours of investigation for like $30 a person or something. Mm-hmm. So, I'll put this out. We have 6 people that we took with us, and you can have 8. So if anybody wants to go, and you can email showmescares@gmail.com, and we can talk more about maybe getting a few people to go with us next time. Because that'd be fun. And we had so much fun the first time that more people would make it more fun. Maybe. I don't know. But I wanted to put that out there that, you know, anybody who really wanted to go, we'd like to have them because we will go back. And I'd say probably not too long before we'll go back again. Because
I'm ready.
I'm ready too.
And Kayla, this big, huge skeptic, was like, when's the next one? As soon as we walked out. So
that's awesome.
Like, she's definitely into it. So that's exciting. I was going to do a would you rather, but I think we've got enough of a show that I don't need it, actually. So we'll save that one for next time. anything else that you want to add before we get into business as usual? Actually, I did want to. We have Kristen, so I want to ask Kristen. Kristen, tell me, how long have you been interested in the paranormal? What got you interested in the paranormal? Do you have a short story you want to share?
So when I was younger, my mom's side of the family always like went ghost hunting and stuff. When we would go to Kansas City, they would always go like ghost hunting.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And they would find like abandoned houses and like, or there was this old clinic in Kansas City that we went to one time, and everybody was like so excited to go, and we were loud, like it was an abandoned thing. We didn't think anybody was going to be in there. And when we went in, it was my aunt Nani at the front and my mom at the front, and they heard like a loud bang, and there was nobody in there. Like, it was just like a loud bang, like from over from the side, and like everybody just booked it. Like, like my mom's side of the family, all of them, like older ladies, they just booked it out of there. Like, they got so scared, but it was so funny. And I don't know. Yeah, we just go up. Every time we go to Kansas City, they have a new place for us to go. So
that's cool.
That's usually what got me into it for sure.
So do you guys still do that if you go to Kansas City?
Not as much anymore. Me and my mom and Mackenzie do, and my Aunt Jessie, but not like, not everybody. There was like a group of us, like every time we went, like 10 of us. And now it's just like whoever wants to go type of thing. They're not as into it as we are anymore. I am, I guess. And my sister's a skeptic, so she's like, okay, it's time to go. Like, after, like, 10 minutes of being there, she's, like, scared, and I'm like, so.
That's funny. So do you have any, like, story that you can tell, like, some kind of personal experience, maybe lately, something a little more recent that might have happened. Any story, actually.
No, not really. Like, besides the Pythian, I mean, yeah. Me and my friend went to Windyville, Missouri. It's supposed to be like a ghost town.
Oh.
And we went there because it's supposed to be like an abandoned ghost town, but there was like, there's people living there, and they like opened up this whole like gas station.
Are you sure they were people?
You know, like. I'm pretty sure, but I didn't, like, I don't know. I was too, like,
touch it,
yeah,
like.
I was too scared to be like, oh, I'm here to ghost hunt, so why are you guys living here? Like, you know? Like, yeah, so, but, like, yeah, no, I don't have any really, other than that time at Kansas City and at the Pythian, I haven't really. Mm-hmm. I'm more like, you guys hate me for it. Like, I, like, bought a Ouija board and, like, I watch all of these, like, yeah, that type of, like, ghost stuff. But everybody's like, no, I'm not doing that with you. Like, no, I'm not doing that with you, Kristen. Stop asking me. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not doing it by myself. So, so yeah.
Shayla, you ready for a Ouija board?
No. No. Feel free, but if you bring anything home with you, then you have to move out.
That's what Harley says. She's like, you have to keep that in your car. And I'm like, okay. Like, if that makes you feel better, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, goodness. Okay, so, Kristen, we always ask everybody, what is your bucket list haunted place?
I really want to go to Waverly Hills. Like, I want to go there so bad. But I want to do, like, I just want to, like, get a bunch of people and pay $1,000 and, like, do it overnight. Like, that's what I want to go for.
Me too. Definitely.
Yeah, I feel like if we go, like, if I went to do the ghost tour, I'd be like, all right, well, I got to pay for it now. Like, yeah. All right, we have to do it tonight. Yeah.
Well, whoops. So we're going to Waverly Hills to do the ghost hunt, mm-hmm. or the ghost tour, excuse me, in April. And we're going to see, we're going to a live show podcaster that I like to listen to, and we're going to go do the ghost tour at Waverly afterward. And I am like freaking out because it's Waverly Hills. Yeah. Like, I can't believe I'm going to be at Waverly Hills. But also I know I'm going to feel the same way.
Yeah.
So, here's your call to action. If you want to go to Waverly Hills with us, we can have 10 people and it's $100 a person. So email that too.
Yes.
Because we can, I mean, we can get a group together. I think the overnight investigations are only on like Sunday and Thursday. So like it, well, because they do tours on the weekends. So that's why. And I think they close them down in August because they actually do like a haunted house, like a little...
Is it the same place that has like the, they have where you can stay there too?
Yeah.
Like they have like the cots, mm-hmm. and stuff.
They have a bunkhouse. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if somebody got tired or something, they could actually go and sleep at the end of the body shoot.
That's yeah. Company. Yeah. Yeah. Who's brave enough to do that?
But yeah, if anybody wants to go to Waverly also, definitely reach out. We'll try to get a group together. But I did want to mention ahead of time, I think on Sunday or Thursday. Or maybe on Tuesday or Thursday. I don't remember, but it will be a weekday that you'll have to take off work if you work through the week. So be mindful of that before you say you want to go because, you know, you'll need to make sure you have off work. I did want to mention also, we are going to kind of do a little drawing each week. So iTunes reviews are extremely, extremely important. Please rate and review. That helps us more than anything you can do. And for that, we will keep track of those. And each week we will draw a person to receive a sticker with our logo on it. So if you leave a review, you could win a sticker. I know it's not a lot, but... you know, since we're not making money off of it, so
yeah, we're just starting out, so bear with us.
A sticker's all we can do for you right now. So maybe eventually we can do, like, we'll pay your way to go to an investigation with us or something, like, yeah. You know, if we really get needing reviews. But anyway, we'll see what we can do about that. But as of now, if you leave a review, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a sticker. And our social media, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at Show Me Scares. And we have a website coming. I'm almost done with it. It's taking a while. That website is coming. But you can reach out to us on email, showmescares@gmail.com. And that's going to be the easiest way to get a hold of us anyway. And I think that's all of our socials and how to contact us. And please do if you have any suggestions. All right. So that wraps this episode of Show Me Scares. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Kristen, thank you for joining us and hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
It was fun. We'll do it again.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe you'll have more stories next time.
Maybe.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see what we can do. But anyway, thanks for listening. Thank you so much, so much for listening. Rate, review. Again, can't stress that enough. And have a lovely week, and we will see you next time.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.